Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this very challenging life.
It's good to see you.
I'm glad to see that on your face. I don't know how I feel being seen, but I'm glad that you like seeing me.
I do. I like your face.
Yeah. Well,
I always have.
God be praised. That's everybody, every ugly person needs that one woman who, every ugly guy needs that one woman who looked at him and sees something something better than what it actually is.
No. I think every spouse should see delight and light in their spouse.
Right.
Looking at them when they come home, when they walk in the door.
Yeah.
When they greet them, when they say good morning.
Yeah.
That's something I actually learned from you.
Right. A joyful anticipation of good, right? And it's got to reach your face.
It has to reach meaning. Your face. Yeah. And when you first used to do it, I was like, he's weird. Because nobody in my family would go, it's so great to see you. not that we didn't care, but it was just, it's just a really good thing. It's a good practice to let the love in your heart reach your face, which I guess can segue into, what is it? Demonic pitfalls of...
Demonic wells of pain.
Demonic wells of pain in our heart that we need to properly discern. We need to figure out what it is it's doing to us and to those that we love.
We've had to work through many of these, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to overstate on the demonic side that wells of pain come from just disordered human interaction, but there's always demonic forces behind them, and they use them to exacerbate and stir up problems between husband and wife. And
yeah, he's such a punk.
Yeah, punk is a good word.
Just wanting to just manipulate and use. I mean, he takes advantage of situations.
So we've worked through a lot of these wells of pain. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll describe a little bit of the mechanics, and then we can get into some specifics.
Okay.
But if you can have this imaginary couple walking across a surface, a flat surface, and think maybe Yellowstone National Park, there's all these, there are places where you walk that are actually dangerous. Because if you step, you can step in many places and it's fine. If you step in the wrong place, you'll step through the top layer of the crust into a cauldron that could boil your skin off or kill you if you fall in completely. And many people have actually died in that context. But you're walking, but let's say you have no indication there's a cauldron underneath, and you're walking along an event, something between you.
Or a comment.
A comment or whatever, then suddenly causes the crust to break through. Mm-hmm. And now that comment or that event between you is now connected with the cauldron, which is a well of unresolved, unhealed wounds from the past. And now that event becomes much bigger than what it normally would have been, or the words that you stated hurt way more than they normally would. Mm-hmm. And there is an long-standing, I don't know how old it is, but it'd be interesting to look up the etymology of the phrase making a mountain out of a molehill.
Oh, it's funny. I was just thinking that thought when you said that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But what's interesting about that phrase is it's saying you're overreacting. You're making something bigger than it should be. And in a kind of mechanical sense, I guess that's true. But it fails to address the fact that, there is a mountain here. Mm-hmm. It isn't necessarily fitting for the event. It's way overblown. The event, or let's just say you said something that harmed me. what you said, injustice in, you know, kind of this an even playing field sort of assessment, didn't create the mountain, but the words plus the well of pain creates the mountain, and the mountain is real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the mountain out of a molehill thing doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Because it's
dismissive.
It could be dismissive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been 1,000,000,000 times where husbands or wives have said to one another, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, right? Or you're overreacting.
Right. Because they're only focusing on what's happening at the moment. They're looking at the reaction of their spouse.
Right.
And they're only focusing on that instead of stopping and pausing and saying, okay, what's going on here?
Right.
What's going on here? This is my beloved.
Yeah.
This is the person that I've promised to spend the entirety of my life with. Mm-hmm. And I just said something that felt very innocuous to me, or mm-hmm. maybe had a little bit of an edge because I was irritated or, you know, whatever. But the reaction is way beyond what I've said. And so I need to look at that and go, there's something more going on here.
Yeah. And part of the unfortunate dynamics of longstanding tension in a marriage is, let's just use me. I'll say something relatively innocuous. It's a well of pain on you. You smack me for it in a verbal sense. Mm-hmm. And then I smack you back in a verbal sense, right?
Which makes me like really smack you
back. Yeah, and then you ended up in this big fight.
Right.
And so the hard part is getting to the place where, and this is getting to the place where we have enough prudence and self-control, mm-hmm. and I would even say love,
yes,
to not, you know, so I said something, you reacted at a higher, I said something at a one, you reacted at a 10 in intensity, and instead of me reacting back at a 10 going, you know, doing what you've described, which is, well, what's underneath that, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think one of the things that's been super helpful in getting to that place, and I know it is, we've talked about it in one of the previous shows, is the speaker-listener technique, mm-hmm. to immediately, so I said the trigger word, you went to a 10, in the best case, if we could learn to do this, mm-hmm. would be for me to back up and say, well, let me repeat back to you how you feel about it. Yeah. And this is, you notice when you do that, you exit the realm of justice, because mm-hmm. that's not the concern. Her reaction, my word was at one, her reaction's at 10. It's not a matter of fixing her.
Right.
Or creating a just, like, that was wrong, or going lawyer.
You can't do that.
Or going lawyer mode. Right. So it's none of that, because none of that really reflects love. But instead saying, wow, that really affected you. I'm sorry. It seems that you felt like I was saying X.
Yeah.
And we begin using the speaker listener technique, which then, practically that means she has the floor. That means she's in essence, the judge of whether or not I understood, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do in that context is understand her heart and make sure she feels heard, which begins, by the way, it calms things down and it begins to heal the wound, believe mm-hmm. it or not.
Yeah,
it does. Do we have any examples of that?
Yeah, actually, yesterday.
Okay was great.
One.
Let's do
it. And it wasn't a one and a 10. So yesterday, and I don't even really remember the context. I asked you something and your response was sharp. And I kind of tried to clarify because I thought, well, you know, what are we getting at here? And you pretty much devolved, not huge, not a 10, mm-hmm. but I knew you were very frustrated, very upset, pushing back on the narrative of what I was trying to accomplish, which was to solve something stupid, right?
It was to solve
an administrative issue.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was going on. And what I did was I said, okay, And I asked a question and you acknowledged. And so I went and did that. So in that moment, I could see my husband's not doing well.
I was in desolation. Oh, okay.
You were in desolation already. Yeah, yeah. And you were in both emotional, I think, or spiritual and physiological desolation.
Yeah, I am struggling at the moment. I was struggling yesterday. I'm still the same today. Physical issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I did was I slowed way down. And as I left, I then thought, I need to serve him. So, and this is not going directly to the speaker listener technique, nor is it or the well of pain thing, but it is a way to solve kind of like just conflicts,
right?
Smaller conflicts. And so as I drove away, I sent you a text and I said, how can I love you and serve you today?
That was huge, by the way, because it really affected me in a positive way.
And I said, I need to do X, Y, Z, but I want to make sure that I meet your needs. Can you tell me what your needs and expectations are today? And I said, I love you.
Yeah, it was huge. And it allowed, because then now we're dealing heart to heart and not the issue. I didn't want to deal with the issue. It was part of it, you know, because I was just not feeling
well. But I went to service.
Yeah.
I went to love and serve my husband.
Rather than coming back.
Right. And I was also coming from a space of respect for you.
Yeah.
Like not trying to fix you.
Yeah.
Not going, you don't get to talk to me that way, because, you know, it's not fun to receive the whatever that is that comes off from a grumpy man, frankly, you know, that you love and adore and you give yourself to fully, you know, all that. But at that moment, I wasn't fixated on your anger and or your frustration or your irritation. I was fixated on your heart. I was fixated on, this is my spouse.
Yeah.
And he's not doing okay.
Right.
And how do I help him? How do I be a balm of healing for him, or a balm of peace and goodness to him that will like lower down the ire or whatever? So I think what we need to do is when we come back from the break is then talk about, okay, but what if it's a trigger?
Yeah, let's use a specific example of that, because I have one between us that I know where you have a level of pain that I've tapped into only about 7,438 times. And so I think if we deal with that one, we can give a specific example.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hey, friends. New course, not a new course. I think it's a repeating course coming around again, Angels and Demons. Explore the reality and nature of angelic beings and their roles in the lives of the faithful, fallen angels, their power, role, and origin. And this course will also include discussion about possession and exorcism, of course, taught by our exorcist friend, Monsignor Charles Pope. So if you're interested in that course or any courses to help you to grow in your faith and the interior life, spiritual warfare, all that good stuff, avila-institute.org. Did I say that right? avila-institute.org. I guess I did. Hope to see you there. God bless. Hey, friends, it's Dan and Stephanie Burke. We're back talking about wells of pain, relationship, spiritual warfare, all that stuff. So the one I want to deal with you is, it's a recurring theme between us, both because stylistically we have quite a deep contrast between us, and because you have pain in the past related to this one issue. And so it's related to your dad basically saying, be quiet. Your voice isn't important.
Yeah.
You also grew up in a context where you were just, you know, because of the busyness, everyone's good people and your parents are good people. But I mean, then I'm talking about your biological dad. Your stepdad's a much gentler man, of course, a very good guy. And your mother is a good woman. But you got a bit lost in the midst of a blended family. And so your biological father is basically saying, shut up.
Yeah, he didn't use, well, he used worse language, right? Well, the message was, you are to be seen and not heard.
Right.
And he was also came from a very different era, which people can often understand, that my father was born 1912. 12. So it's just crazy when you think about it. or 1911, actually.
There were still Indian wars going on at that time.
Well, you know, there's huge things. And children, in his mind, mm-hmm. and he was raised that way, they're to be seen and not heard. And it was interesting because it happened to me as an infant, a small child. I have memory after memory that I've worked through and brought to healing, and I've brought to Emmanuel moments when I've gone into those memories and asked the Lord to come in and heal them. And he's done amazing, amazing healing in there. But the enemy used it over the course of my life, different relationships, different scenarios of you don't get to talk.
Right.
Your opinion doesn't matter. You need to sit down and be quiet, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Right.
So you got that message, and that's painful. And you've also admitted on air that your root sin is pride. So that's mm-hmm. kind of an exacerbating factor. Mm-hmm. So when you have any manner of intensity about an issue, you also, by just the way you're designed, you like to speak out fully. I'm not saying, by the way, any of this is defective. I'm just describing it. Mm-hmm. You want to speak out fully what's going on in your head. And you generally repeat the same things like three times when you're in that mode.
Always?
I said generally.
Oh, okay.
Not always, okay. But generally, okay. Often.
Okay.
Depending on how intense it is for you.
It used to be a very, very bad habit.
Yeah, the more intense you are, the more you'll do it three times. So on a spectrum, one is I need to use all my words. That's you. On me, on the spectrum, is grunting is often an effective way of communicating.
Right.
So
and efficiency of like, okay, I've already figured this out. Let's cut to the chase.
Right.
And fix it.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Because you are very much a fixer.
And
like
I
efficient. Let's
and my brain moves way too fast.
Yeah.
The constant cycle that we've had to work through, and it's still up here. It's happened this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that
I went to the dry erase board.
Yeah, she did. And well, it was and
it proved to be very effective, did it not?
It was helpful to me.
Yes.
You know, but I still had to work hard to just like be patient, just listen. This is what she needs to do. This is how she processes. This is what brings healing. And it has there's no negative connotation to what you need to say or do in those contexts. What has happened in the past is what happened that is painful to you. When we first got married, it was very painful to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it
I was on fire. My wounds were on fire when we got married.
And so what would happen is she would express something. I'm like, I'm going to save time. I know where you're going. Let's just do this, which communicates to her what her dad communicated to her. Mm-hmm. Was I like her dad? Did I use cuss words? No. Mm-mm. But it doesn't matter, because what she had underneath her was a well of pain from her dad.
Yeah.
And that is making it 10 times harder for her to deal with my insensitivity.
Your efficiency, your lawyer mode.
Yeah.
And what's crazy, like I just had the recollection or the realization that my father died right before we got married.
Right. Well, I mean, I came down to see you.
To the funeral,
yeah,
right? It's what saved our relationship that I was able to decide to go ahead and marry you.
Yeah.
Because that trauma or that sorrow and that grief, I was ready to bail on the relationship. And so I haven't processed through that. So I'm talking about that well of pain, right?
Right.
I haven't processed the loss of my father. I haven't dealt with my wounds. We go into a new marriage and your efficiency, because you have big jobs, we have a blended family, we have all kinds of stuff going on. We're trying to work through everything.
And then can I just add something?
Sure.
It's interesting how you just reacted to me cutting in.
Yeah.
Because that could have never have happened pre a lot of healing, right? But it's important to add that my efficiency when we first got married was also coupled with a significant intensity that is not, I don't know how you would describe it on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Let's say then it was an 8. Now it's normatively what? on a scale of 1 to 10?
Maybe a 1 or 2.
God be praised, right? Yeah. I didn't want to judge myself
in
that. So that made it even harder.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like crazy in love with you and you're like intense.
Yeah.
And I'm on fire and you're intense and everything's got to be hurried up and we got to cut to the chase and I'm dying inside.
You know what's interesting about that too is do you think in part you were attracted to me as part of your own healing from your dad's wounds because there's a part of me that's like your dad? We've never talked about this.
Not consciously, because I can even look at you now.
No, not consciously, of course.
I can even look at you now and like, I can't make any compare at all.
Oh, really?
At all.
Yeah.
Unless we just basically talk about maybe an undercurrent of anger that you've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, that there's this undercurrent of anger that you've had to work through.
In the past. It's not there anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that was there and, you know, I don't know, you know.
So
I can't see it.
So we've gone through this process of one, using the speaker listener technique, which forces me to slow down.
Yeah.
And drives you to to make sure that, well, it you feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the efficiency is gone. There's no efficiency, which means love, patience, kindness, gentleness goes way up.
Yeah.
And speed and getting things done goes to 1 or 0.
Right. And the focus is how do we come to peace?
Yeah.
Right. Not how do we fix the problem. We focus on how do we come to peace and love and serve the other person. And like the other day when we were doing this going through this exercise in your office, and I went immediately to the dry erase board because I knew that what I was trying to communicate was complex. It had layers. I just wanted to make sure that you understood, and I wanted to get it out the quickest way I could. And when I went and wrote it, when I got done and you said, got it, I immediately said to you, great, I'm done with it now.
You're good.
I'm good, because I just needed to make sure you understood what was happening and so that it wasn't going to come back later. Right. I just thought, no, we got to talk about this. But I loved that. And I knew you were controlling yourself. You were under self-control. You took a couple of breaths, but you didn't go, you know, it was more like, okay, I'm going to control myself. I'm going to control my face. I'm going to listen to my wife. She's going to say this. And then, you know, it's going to be fine. And when I got it said, like, I haven't gone back to it because it's done for me.
And what saved a million arguments, you know, that maybe would have occurred in the beginning of our marriage is shifting in those moments from getting things done to making sure the other feels heard.
And the
fundamental way is, like we've talked about, okay, now you have the floor and it's my job to tell you how you're feeling to your satisfaction. And then when you agree, if you don't agree, then you correct. And then I say it again.
Right.
And then now I have the floor. It's my job. It's your job to make sure you understand how I'm perceiving things and to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
And what that does is it just stops this escalation and it pushes the enemy out.
Yeah.
Because the feedback loops it causes, the real honest listening it causes. It's not true that there can't be any demonic influence, but it's dramatically mitigated by love. Really, love
and assuming the best of the other and really understanding, you know, when we've had previous shows on giftedness, that you are God's gift to me, right? And so as I did yesterday, my goal was, how do I bring peace to my spouse? How do I love and serve him in this moment? And if your disposition is the same,
right?
If couples look at, how do I bring peace? How do I bring love? You know, how do I make sure that I take care of this gift that's been given to me? All is well, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't solve all the problems, but when you're peaceful and united in Christ and in love for one another and for God alone, it's going to take care of everything.
And all of that mitigates what the enemy's doing in the context. You know, for the one who's got the well of pain, he'll start saying things to you, which I know you heard when we were early married.
Yeah.
He'll start saying things to you about wanting to escape or whatever, because you feel like you're not being hurt because you weren't, right?
Yeah.
And he'll say things to me like, you know, she's just way too difficult, you know, or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
But yeah. It's just getting past that junk and saying, yeah, okay, God wants me to love her and honor her. So how do I do that in this moment, rather than trying to fix, rather than jumping to conclusions, rather than doing lawyer mode? It's just purely, my focus should be on your heart and what you need, yours on mine. Once that's good, we're unified.
Right.
And now we can deal with any problem.
And it takes time.
Yeah, it's taken us a long
time. You know, it takes time. You know, this isn't something you can do on the fly. You have to be purposeful about it. But there's really, there's nothing more important outside of God and the sacraments to come to a place of peace with your spouse. Because in that union, you know, it pushes out the darkness. And the more you're unified, the more the enemy cannot have a place in your marriage.
Right.
He just can't have a place there. It also makes space for grace, mm-hmm, so that the healing that needs to happen in your spouse's heart or in your heart can take place in a place of, okay, this is obviously something that I need to deal with. So in prayer with your spiritual director, through different healing resources, you can come to that place of peace so that then you can keep loving and serving your spouse for all eternity.
So for the next show, we're going to end our series and we're going to talk about something that Jesus did for his disciples that was profound in its implications and its effect on them, and then how to apply that to marriage. So if you've been paying attention to the series for a while, great. Please share it and let people know about it. If you missed any of the previous ones, you can find them out on spiritualdirection.com. But please like and share and help us to get the word out. And we'll see you next time.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.